Blog Talk Radio.
Beloved friends, and welcome to Divine Experience with your host, Dr. Dacia Smith. Thank you for joining me today. You just heard one of my favorite contemporary gospel classics. And those of you who are old school will probably remember this from the mid to late 90s, this song. I remember being in college and listening to it on the radio, so it was always such a great inspiration to me. So I hope that you have been blessed by it. It's just very uplifting and upbeat, and I hope that you have been blessed by it as well. I want to. Today is a very special show, and I want to start out first by thanking you for listening. This week I'm going to be celebrating my 37th birthday on Tuesday. Praise the Lord. So this is actually my birth week. In case you didn't know, everybody really has a birth week, or I would say that everyone has one. It's the Sunday before your birthday until the Sunday after. So whenever your birthday, if it falls on a Friday, then it's that Sunday before to the Sunday after your birthday. And oh, by the way, you have to be like well into your adult years to have a birth week. I mean, like post 35 or something like that. I mean, because young people, they don't need a birth week. They haven't been through enough yet. So if you have somebody in your life, a younger person, either a child, a godchild, grandchild, you know, somebody, younger cousin, and they're like, oh, I want a birth week, and they're not somewhere around maybe 30, 35-ish, then you just tell them they'll need to wait. It's a special privilege that comes with age and experience. But anyway, thank you for listening. I'm so glad to be celebrating with you. I just want to give a couple of personal updates. I was in Jackson this past week, in Jackson, Tennessee, not Jackson, Mississippi, for church, and there's an excellent sermon that the pastor gave on God's grace for all, and he preached from Colossians, the first chapter of Colossians, when Paul is there and he is reminding, and I sent this out as a morning manna message today, but he's reminding all who are assembled there that God's grace is for every single person, and we need not feel judged and condemned by our past and feeling like we're not worthy to come before the Lord or be accepted by him, because, in fact, his love for us covers all of those sins. And so the ultimate message that he was trying to convey is that no matter your past or present, calling upon the name of the Lord allows you to be saved. And we do the works that God has asked us to do and that has outlined for us in his holy word because we love him, not to earn his love, because his love cannot be earned. It is freely given to us, though we are undeserving. That's just because our Lord is so loving and gracious and merciful and kind. Hallelujah, right? So I want to just give praise reports. Other than this being my birth week, I'm just grateful to God to be alive, and I do have some birthday blessings that I'm going to read off in a few minutes here. I know that one of my very, very dear, dear friends for almost 20 years and a faithful listener of the show, she has recently had a birthday. We have birthdays in the same week, so praise God that she has been able to celebrate another year of life as well, and hopefully I'll be able to reconnect with her at some point this year to catch up. But I also want to give a praise report that my family on my dad's side, there was a family reunion in Atlanta this past weekend, and they rented a bus, chartered a bus, and went there. And my dad did go. I did not get everything together in time to go on the bus with them, so I stayed back this time. But I received reports that the family had a wonderful time. There's actually a breakdown of the bus on the way to Atlanta, but I heard via text message that my super dad fixed the bus. Yes. So I'm really excited that they got that all taken care of and could be on their way. And I saw some pics, and I look forward to seeing more. They've had a fantastic time. I also want to say that a new pastor has been announced for my church, Raleigh Seventh-day Adventist Church here in Memphis. So that new pastor will be arriving on September 6th, I believe. Paul and I had a wonderful time this past week on Thursday at the Pink Palace Museum, which is a nationally known museum here in Memphis. We got to see an IMAX film on meerkats, and we got to look at some exhibits of robotic bugs and just things that are really kind of neat and interesting. But the main thing is that we got to spend time with our pastor, outgoing pastor, his wife and his family, his sons, with whom Paul has been, you know, very close over the last few years. So just wish them all the best, and hope we'll be able to reunite with them at some point in their new church home. Prayer requests. So just asking for God's continued favor in my life as I go into this next year, and for my son. They're in a few short weeks, he will be starting high school, and I am petrified, but I am really excited and anticipating a wonderful year for him. I'm also going to be going to a new school myself, a new environment, not a totally new grade level because I have taught the middle school level before, which is my preferred grade level, but it's been 6 years, so it's been a while, so it will be an adjustment, and I just thank God for the new opportunity. I want to continue praying for my mother as she continues to heal and make strides with her progress in mobility. And just, you know, a prayer for those who just are at a crossroads in their lives and are seeking to hear from God about purpose and direction, because I know I've been there, and it seems like we're always in some form or fashion at that point. We want to be directed and led by God, so I pray the Holy Spirit will reveal to those individuals what it is they need to do and where they need to go. So I am going to pray now. Dear Father God in heaven, I just thank you, Lord, for this birthday, this birth week, where really, Father God, it's, you know, not about the parties or the gifts or any of that, and, you know, the pampering that we do for ourselves, and all of that's fine, but what it's really about is being renewed and restored in you and recognizing and realizing, Father God, just how blessed we are year after year after year that you sustain us, Father. So I just ask, Lord, that people all over, Father God, whether they have birthdays around this time of year or not, whenever their birthday is, that they use that as a time to just analyze and evaluate where they are, where they've come from throughout the past year, and where they are and where they'd like to be in the next year, because it's really all about growing and maturing in you, Father God, and getting to you. Father God, I just ask for prayer right now for those who are seeking you and desiring to know you, that you would place some in their lives, Father God, who would be a witness to them and a light to them of your love. And those who are taking summer vacations, again, we're going to the 4th of July week, that you would be with them in their travels, bar them from all accidents and misfortune, Father God. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. So I want to mention some people of influence for this week. Well, especially, I've been reading 12 Years a Slave, Solomon Northrup's autobiography, and most of you probably know about the film, but I've actually been reading the book this summer, and many of you are familiar with Juneteenth, which is a celebratory time this time of year where there are a lot of assemblies and programs and you know, festivities related to the time of emancipation and, you know, Abraham Lincoln's influence in the liberation of the enslaved African Americans in this country. So there's so much that goes into, and there's a lot of heartfelt you know, passion about the entire Juneteenth movement and the history of it and how it came about. But if you have not read Solomon Northrup's story, even if you've seen the movie, I would encourage you to read the book, because in the book he is just very candid, and he is you know, he's transparent, and you can really, you know, see his heart, you know, spilled out over those sheets. It is heart-wrenching, but at the same time, it's a hope generating story, a hope-filled story, because of course it does end with you know, finally his release, you know, from that traumatic and tormenting bondage for those years. So anyway, it's a great summer read. I want to just go over some scripture verses that have to do with birthdays, because there are some denominations and religions who do not believe in the celebration of any types of holidays or birthdays, but I would say in response to that, even if you don't celebrate, the Bible does, you know, mention remembering and appreciating the birthday, the natural birthday, because we're also going to talk a little bit about the spiritual birthday and how the two kind of correlate, you know, how you can draw a parallel there. But the natural birthday that the Lord allowed, you know, you to come onto this earth. So that is definitely something to remember. People do go overboard. Of course, it's like they do with everything else and the commercialism piece of it. But from a biblical standpoint, here's what is said about birthdays. Numbers 6:24-26, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And to me, that, you know, speaking that favor and that promise over your life is the best birthday gift that anybody could ever give me, you know, greater and more priceless than anything tangible, because it's an eternal promise. Proverbs 9:11, for by me your days will be multiplied and years will be added to your life. So that's birthdays upon birthdays upon birthdays. Those of us who may have parents or grandparents or, you know, great uncles or aunts or someone who's in their 80s or 90s or over 100, you know, the Lord has greatly blessed and multiplied the years of that person. You know, longevity is a gift that they've received. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Psalm 91:11, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. And Psalm 90:12, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. So that's going back to, we're going to talk more about this in terms of, you know, what the birthday should really truly be about at its core and its essence. But certainly as we get older, we should definitely get wiser. We should not remain juvenile or childish in our ways. So I want to just talk a little bit about birthday blessings, and I'm going to read off mine very briefly here. And this year I did 38 birthday blessings. And the reason why I did 38, even though I'm 37, is because I don't know how many of you know this, but if anyone's ever explained the concept to you that whatever age you're turning on your birthday, you're actually living in the year after, the number year after your age. So, for example, a person who is turning 14 today, which is June 29th, if they're turning 14 today, they're actually living in their 15th year. And I had to clarify this with someone earlier because it was thought that I was saying that they lived 15 years. No, I'm just saying they're living and they started living in their 15th year of life because they've completed 14 years of life. So Tuesday, July 1st, I will have completed 37 years of life because the day I was born, I was 0 years old. And when I had my first birthday, I had lived one full year. So then the day after my first birthday, I started living my second year, right? So that's why I do 38, because I'm living in my 38th year of life. And I've done this for a few years. So I make what I call a thank you card to God on my birthday, and I just say, thank you, God, for these birthday blessings. And some in my 30s, they're thrilling birthday blessings, okay? Number one, God's unfailing love. Number two, the gift of salvation. Number three, the promise of eternal life. Number four, abundant grace and endless mercy. Number five, physical, mental, and emotional health. Number six, my natural life. Number seven, my dear son, Timothy Paul. Number eight, my immediate family. Number nine, my extended family. Number 10, my faithful friends. Number 11, provision of basic needs, food, clothing, shelter, et cetera. Number 12, employment. Number 13, my talents, writing, communicating, counseling. Number 14, my spiritual gifts, the gift of discernment, the gift of teaching, et cetera. Number 15, the earth and nature. I have a new appreciation overall of nature due to some information that I've learned, been very privileged to learn recently, but especially in the summertime, I just, you know, I love being in nature and seeing how, you know, the beauty and all the colors of the earth and the flowers and all of that. Number 16, freedom to worship the Lord. Number 17, my travel experiences, especially my international travel. Number 18, presents I've received through the years, because no one has to do anything for you. So anytime someone gives me anything, a card, or even just bothers to say and remember to say happy birthday is more than enough for me. I'm very grateful. Number 19, for trials and resulting lessons. Number 20, for the holy word of God. Number 21, the vision for my radio show, Divine Experience, and my listeners. Number 22, protection from tragedy and fatality, even when I didn't know that it was before me. Number 23, the sun, rain, moon, and stars. Number 24, my car. Number 25, my memories. Number 26, youthful genes. And I put in parentheses, am I really 37? Because, thank God, I do get told all the time, you don't look, I mean, people's jaws just drop. You know, they are astounded. And I thank God because that does run in my family. That's just kind of a thread in my family on both sides of, you know, maintaining a youthful appearance far beyond our chronological years. So I am very happy about that, especially as I get closer to the big 4-0. Number 27, intelligence and creativity. Number 28, relaxing holidays and vacations. Number 29, purpose and direction in my life. Number 30, Virgin Margaritas. And I will tell you why, because I read this list earlier to somebody, and they were like, what's a Virgin Margarita? Okay. So anytime you put virgin in front of a drink that would normally be alcoholic, it means it's not alcoholic, because I've never drank alcohol before. I don't know why people want to drink it or would drink it or whatever. But the Virgin Margarita, it is a nice, cool, refreshing drink. And it just has the margarita juice in it. That's all it really has, and some ice. But every now and then I get, like on my birthday, I'll probably get one kind of a thing, the holiday. I don't get them every week because even though it's not alcoholic, it's loaded with sugar, and try to monitor my intake of that. But they are cool and fun. Number 31, my piano, the piano I got last summer for $250. It's a Baldwin Aquasonic sitting right now in my living room. I need to get better about playing it. But number 32, hope. Number 33, faith. Number 34, joy. Number 35, peace. Number 36, Holy Spirit power. Number 37, divine intervention. And number 38, is my secret. So see if you can, yeah, it's not a secret. Well, it's not a secret to me. It's a secret to you. Or if you think you know the answer, email me. No, I'm just kidding. But I praise God for just all of, and again, that is just, I mean, that doesn't even touch the surface, you know. There's just an innumerable list, you know, truly it's inexhaustive. It goes into an infinity in terms of what I personally need to be thankful for from God. But I would encourage everybody to do that on their birthdays because it just is a way of really seeing it, you know, so concretely, just the specific, you know, outlining the specific things so that we don't, we're far less likely to take anything for granted when we get that specific and that direct in our remembrance of what God has done for us. So now we have reached the midpoint of the show, and I'm actually going to play you another song. Now, this song is one of my more recent contemporary gospel hits that I love. It's by a group called Plum, and if you ever listen to K-Love, which is a Christian, contemporary Christian radio station, I do listen to that. We have our own in Memphis, 95.7 Hallelujah FM. I listen to that very frequently in the mornings, but I also listen to K-Love as well. I like the radio host in the morning there. But this song, when I heard it, it just resonated with me and my life and what the Lord has brought me to through. So I'm going to play it for you. It is called Need You Now. After this little commercial that's here. But let me just tell you, since that's going on, the song is really, it's written a way of thanking God for being there and caring and getting through the tough times and calling upon the name of the Lord. And so it's like a psalm. It's like a modern-day psalm.
Oh.
Amen. I just, when I hear that song, it is my personal ode to my Lord and Savior for all the struggles that I faced and endured, the challenges, the obstacles. And as we all know, at different points in our lives, we face different ones, right? Sometimes they're financial, sometimes they're relational, sometimes they're emotional, sometimes they're physical, sometimes, you know, they're just psychological. It's just at different, you know, periods and stages. But regardless, we need Him to you know, fight the battle for us, to get us through, to see us through. We've got to put our trust in Him. And so, and that's not only, I think, for individual situations, but I also think it definitely applies to situations of a corporate or aggregate type of nature with groups of people who have been who have faced adversity, you know, such as enslaved peoples, or you know, groups that have over the years been marginalized, or you know, somehow belittled and demeaned, and had to you know, really struggle and again overcome some great tribulation to have peace and to be able to live their lives. So I just hope that song for you, that you would take it to heart, and it would be another way to honor and glorify the Lord in how He has just been there for us and literally been the support and provided the frame for us to be able to rest on and to be secure in. So I just wanted to leave that with you to ruminate on. And now I want to go into just a brief caveat here on the meaning of a courtship that is Christian-centered. And I did touch upon this last week with our guest speaker, Adam Perry, Brother Adam Perry, who also ministers and is just very anointed and knowledgeable when it comes to relationships and the formation of relationships. So if you didn't get a chance to hear that show, please listen to it in the archives, because he does make mention, especially speaking to us as women, about just remaining faithful in believing that our mate is out there, that the Lord has already, you know, ordained it, and that He is coming, and God knows the appointed time. He also mentioned a book that I should share with you, Where is My Boaz? Many of you may have heard of it. I think it was just written and released last year. But if you get a chance to read that this summer, ladies, especially single ladies who are awaiting the Prince Charming, you know, that perfect gentleman, that ideal companion, Where is My Boaz? So I think you can look that up and probably get it on Amazon, or it's probably in the library. And I would encourage you to read that. I know I will be checking it out myself. But I wanted to make this brief commentary on the two essential elements of a courtship. I've said that this month we were supposed to be you know, focusing on and concentrating on courtship and romance and this month is over already. Wow. But I did want to definitely add in this insight that I believe that I received from the Lord. The two essential elements of a courtship, a Christian-centered courtship, a strong and healthy courtship, friendship and romance, or fromance. I like my little endearing, catchy, you know, term for it. But it's a combination of friendship and romance. And it starts with friends first and then romance second. Now, that does not mean that two people have to be just friends for a certain amount of time, platonic friends, and then after that designated period that they can then transition into more. No, that's not what I'm saying. The two can occur simultaneously, but the friendship is the foundation. So I want you to imagine this analogy with me, okay? And it may seem to be a little peculiar to you when you hear it at first, but I think you'll follow me. So I compare the fromance to a black bean burger. And it's a little funny. I have a little funny story to tell regarding that last Thursday, after coming from the Pink Palace with my pastor and such, I had a taste for the black bean burger from O'Charlie's, which is my favorite restaurant here since there's no Cheesecake Factory in Memphis. They've sent me an email since it's close to my birthday saying, you know, happy birthday. You're not getting older. You're just getting hungrier. So I thought that was kind of cute. But anyway, I ordered that, and when I went in to get it, my order got mixed up with somebody else who'd ordered a regular beef burger, which I've not eaten anything like that in over 10 years. But that's what I got because I didn't check, and the person who, you know, they just got lax and didn't check. It wasn't anything intentional. But, of course, you know, I got home, and I couldn't eat that. They comped me a meal the next day. Really nice. But anyway, that's why I use black bean burgers. Okay. So if you are still, you know, eating your beef burger or your turkey burger, more power to you. Fine. You go right ahead. But this analogy is going to have a black bean burger in it. So, but if you think about it, or in any kind of sandwich, really, you have on the bottom level, your bottom piece of bread, you know, that's what starts the sandwich. That's the friendship. That's the base, the foundation, the building block. And you know what the elements of the components of a friendship are. A good, strong, healthy friendship. You have trust, you have respect, you have common interests, you have reliability, consideration, dependability in any friendship, you know, a platonic friendship, just whatever type of friendship. That's the consistency of it. And so you've got to have that. You know, you can't even start the sandwich without that. And then you have the black bean burger patty. And the black bean burger patty and its dressings or whatever you put on it, that's you and the other person. You know, you are, you're in the center of that. You are the meat, you're the substance of it, you and the other person, the dynamic between you two, the chemistry, the bond, so of course you don't have a sandwich without the substance of it, whatever the substance is. So you got to have that. And that's something, again, that you cannot contrive. You can't, it has to be there. As you get older, you know when it's there. Sometimes in the younger years, you can get misled and you can waste time because you're young and you just don't know. But as you get older, up in the 30s and such, if you haven't already gotten married and found your significant other, or if you've been divorced and you know, are back in the day on the dating scene or whatever, you'll know pretty early. And the Holy Spirit will let you know, so you don't waste time. And then, of course, the top piece of bread, that is the romance. That's the passion, the affection. That's the completion, right? Because, again, you don't have the full sandwich unless you have the bottom and the top and what's in between. So, you know, the romance is what people see on the outside. You're going somewhere, you know, you're in a store or you're at the movies or because I know I've always during my single years and whatnot when I didn't have anybody, and I was like, let me avoid sitting next to this couple, you know, tonguing or whatever like that. And I don't, that to me is whatever. But PDAs, I'm kind of modest about that. But and I usually always sat way up front anyway, so I didn't have to look at that stuff or have it around me. But, you know, that's what, and it doesn't necessarily have to be something like that that's just really, you know, in your face and so salient like that. It could be something, you know, much more covert, like a hand-holding, or you see the caress, and you just see, you know that there's a romance there. That's just on the outside. But if there's really substance to it, if there's really, something that's meaningful and enduring, then it's going to have that friendship as a base. You know, and there's going to be a real bond between the two. So I think, you know, what needs to happen if you are dating someone, if you're in a courtship or you desire to be in a courtship, ask the question, would I consider this person a true friend? Do we have a friendship here, first of all? A real friendship with these elements, trust, respect, common interest, reliability, dependability. So if you're in a courtship situation where you don't trust the guy, and I'm just saying guy because I, you know, am a woman, I'm speaking from a woman's perspective, you don't trust the guy, he's shady, he's shiesty, he's not following through, he is doesn't seem to be mature and these kinds of things, you know, telling lies, you know, you catch them. You know, if you have those kinds of things going on, then you might as well just let it go because this is not even a person who respects you enough as a person to be truthful with you and to be honest and to honor what he says. So you don't have anything. You don't even have the friendship piece. And then, you know, ask yourself, is there chemistry here? Are we bonding? Is this, is this real? You know, is this something that has substance to it and value? And I guess what I mean by that, a lot of people are wanting to know more, you know, concretely, what am I saying with that? I guess what I'm saying with that is it's just something that you just know that you're connecting with the person. There's a vibe. There's a symmetry, a spark kind of a thing. And that is not necessarily the romance because, you can have that and not have romance. You know, you can be have a connection with a person or feel a bond and it not go to that next level, that deeper level. But that needs to be there, you know, if you're going to be spending time with someone, investing yourself in that. And then, of course, the romance is obvious, the passion, the affection, the affinity, all those kinds of things. So you need to ask yourself, do you have all of those pieces, those components? And if you don't have all the components, you don't have a courtship. You don't have one. And I'm just going to be honest, and it may, you know, strike some people as very blunt and caustic when I say this in this manner. But the reason why I'm saying it this way is because I don't want people to suffer through what I suffered through for years, trying to make something, trying to mold this configuration when the pieces were not there. Because, see, if the pieces are there, there's not going to be the frustration. There's not going to be the confusion. There's not going to be – you're not going to try to have to figure out, see, well, I wonder, does he think – I wonder, is he really attracted to me? Or I'm not sure because I think this is going okay, but I've got this over here that's not – it doesn't work like that. Because when Adam asked for Eve, Adam was really asking for a lifelong friend. He was asking for a companion, for company. But God gave him more by presenting someone with whom he could have a physical, sensual, romantic, enchanting connection and spark and chemistry. So where he could have all of the different components met in the one person. So that's what God desires for each of us, that he will give us, he will bring us, ladies, the one who meets all the different components. And if he's not meeting one of the three elements, the friendship, if the chemistry, the bond is not, if it's just not clicking, just naturally, organically clicking, if it's not naturally, organically clicking, get out of it. You don't have, you shouldn't have to contrive that and conjure that up and think of ways to make it be. If it's not there, it's not there. And then the other piece, of course, you know, the romance, which, you know, people want that. I mean, I can honestly tell you when I, in the dating relationships I've had over the years, the friendship element was the one that was really missing. When I was, you know, in some of my, you know, different dating situations, there was no trust there. They were so shady and trifling, and just it was just that was a really. And I know I've got a friend listening now that knows she's really cracking up because she knows that I'm a very good friend. But just, you know, and that kind of thing is really, I mean, it is mentally, psychologically just draining. Because if you don't have the trust there, if the person's not reliable and dependent, if they're not, you can just, you know, you are going to be spinning your wheels and you'll be aged in your mind, 50 years past your chronological age, trying to decipher all of that foolishness. And then in my marriage, you know, there weren't any of the three, to be quite honest. I just, you know, I was at a point where I really wanted to be married, and I completely turned, you know, aside from the unction of the Holy Spirit, and I was, you know, given over to my own, you know, desire of the flesh to be married, which is, you know, quite often, unfortunately, what happens with many women who, as they get older, they get anxious about it, don't want to wait on God anymore. And it's sad, but, you know, my marriage didn't have any of the three elements, and that's why the abuse and adultery and all those things occurred with that. But, you know, I want to be encouraging, but at the same time, I don't want to condone anybody wasting time. So assess your relationships that you're in, ladies. If you're in them, and ask yourself, are the three there? Because if the three are not there, and if you're older, like my age, then you know. Younger ladies, you know, you're really going to have to really probably get in tune because your experience, you may not have as much to really know. But if you seek the Lord and listen to the unction and counsel of the Holy Spirit, it will become plain and clear to you as well. So let me now, briefly in my last few minutes here, just turn to what I meant about the birthday being a time for reflection, our natural birthday. But it's an anniversary as well, because we recount the years we've lived and what our experiences have taught us, especially as we get older. I you know, like to think, especially post-30, And it's somewhat parallel to our spiritual birthday, the day we were born again in Christ, accepted Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Remember when we came to know him. So on each spiritual birthday, that we celebrate and acknowledge. It's the same thing. It is that reassessment of ours. Say, okay, Lord, how far have I come and grown and matured in you since I came to know you? But each natural birthday, it shouldn't just be about looking to see how you've changed physically. And I know as we get older, especially women, I know we're this way, and men probably have, you know, some of these hang-ups as well. But, you know, we get paranoid about, do you see a gray hair, do you see a wrinkle, or, you know, do you see cellulite, do you see this, that, whatever. And, you know, of course, we are going to be concerned about those things because we all, you know, Solomon said, the wisest man who ever lived, you know, we all have vanity. That's just a part of life. We want to look good. And to an extent, there's nothing wrong with that. But it should also be about, or most importantly, it should be about how far we've grown and changed spiritually. We should be closer to Jesus Christ with each year that the Lord graciously allows us to live, because he doesn't have to allow us to live into that next year. You know, we don't know whenever we wake up, go about our business, whether that's going to be the last day or whatever. You know, so we must know just how critical it is, how crucial, that we take every day that we have on this earth to find some kind of way to just get closer to our Lord and Savior as we get closer and closer to the end of time when he's coming back anyway to get us. But that's when we need to reassess and reexamine and reevaluate. Am I spiritually developing in the positive? And, you know, we all have setbacks in our lives. Everybody's got setbacks they come across where we, you know, backslide or maybe transgress because of where we are in our lives or a situation that we allow, unfortunately, to get the best of us and, you know, give way to flesh and whatnot. But, you know, that should never completely consume us. And, you know, in the end, we should still be coming back to a point with Christ where we see the error of our ways and we've repented, and it's become a learning experience for us. So that's what I take the birth week to do. The birth week is not some sort of conceited, pompous, you know, ploy or tactic to get people to notice me and focus on me for 7 days straight. That's not what the birth week is about. The birth week is about spiritual renewal, rejuvenation, revitalization. It's about just, you know, celebrating where you are in Christ. And the 7 days, we know that seven, the number seven, has biblical significance in the Word of God. I call it the number of perfection in terms of, you know, how it's used, or the number of completion, totality, with, you know, 7 days, including the day of rest, with the creation and, you know, that along those lines. But the 7 days to recreate and regenerate ourselves in the Lord. I just think it's just a beautiful way to honor him. So it does, you know, really come down to at the end of that birth week and you're well into living your next year of life, that you have a plan, that you have goals, and that you know or have more of an idea of where you're headed and what, you know, you ultimately want to achieve in terms of your spiritual purpose for that next year, and even with other goals. So I do definitely want to, you know, implore you and, you know, advise you, strongly advise you to take that step and, you know, implement this activity in your life, because I definitely think it is a very spiritually enriching activity. And I want to close today with one of my favorite songs by Miss Cece Winans, I Am That I Am. So anytime you're feeling down, these words that she's singing here should remind you that we have all we ever need in Christ Jesus. Have a happy and safe 4th of July. Be careful, and I will be back with you after the holiday.
The wind to blow, the rain to fall.